This chazor zeichenesh baruch has geshagim v'em yehudim zechlis baba kama daf pay test. Abaye said, once we have mentioned the concept of the ksuba being sold at a discount, let us say something about it. The halacha is, if a woman sells her ksuba for a discounted amount, the money goes to her. We can prove this, because if it goes to the husband, then in the previous case, where Edom Zoymim said she's not entitled to her ksuba, why are they even chayev to give her the discounted amount? Since it goes to the husband, they should not have to give her anything at all. Rav Solomon says, this is not a proof. It may be that even though the husband gets the money, since it increases the money in the home, which would benefit the wife, therefore they must pay something to the wife. Rava Paskin, the discounted price from the sale of a ksuba goes to the woman, and we don't even let the husband have the profits from that money, meaning we don't make her use that money to buy a piece of land and then allow the husband to eat the produce. When Rav Papa, and Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, came to the yeshiva of Rav, they said, we can see the enactment of Usha in our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, dealing with a slave and a married woman is bad. Why? Because if someone injures them, they need to be chayiv, but if they injure someone else, they're potter. Now, without the enactment of Usha, why can't we make the woman sell her maluk property and pay for the damage? It must be that we have the enactment of Usha. Takanas Usha says that she can't sell her maluk property. Mar says it's not a proof. Because even if the Takanas Usha exists, we should make her sell the maluk property for a discounted price and pay with that money. Rather, the case must be where there's no maluk property, and therefore it's not a proof. Mar, why don't we make her sell her ksuba for a discounted price and then use that to pay for the damage? Mar says the Mishnah follows Rav Meir, who says that a couple may not live together without a ksuba, so she sells it, she can no longer live with her husband. The reason Rav Meir holds that way is that the husband has no deterrent and can easily divorce her if he has no ksuba obligation. However, in this case, he still has to pay the ksuba, only to the buyers rather than the wife, so the deterrent still exists. Rather, for the Gemara, the reason we don't make her sell her ksuba to pay for the damage is that a ksuba is mere milin, is words, and words are not subject to a lien for damages. But these are words that can be sold for money, so why are they not subject to a lien? And for Gemara, the reason we don't force the woman to sell her ksuba is that, like Shmuel says, she would be able to be moichel the ksuba obligation even after the sale, with the effect that the buyer of the ksuba will suffer financial loss. In fact, Mara, why is the chance that she'll be moichel enough to prevent us from making her sell the ksuba? Mara says, given her relationship and the affinity for her husband, she'll definitely be moichel the obligation. And by forcing her to sell, we're essentially directly causing a loss to the buyer. In fact, Mara, why don't we just make her give the ksuba to the damaged party? And the chance that she'll be moichel will put him in no less advantageous of a position than if he got nothing at all. Mara says, since she will definitely be meichel, that making Bezdin oversee the giving the ksuba to the damaged party would be like mamash, like wasting their time. Fredakat Gemara, Bryce says, if a wife damages her husband, we don't make her give up her ksuba as payment, but why do we make her give her ksuba rights to him? Because if she's meichel in that case, there's a loss for nobody. And for the Gemara, the Bryce, the father of Meir, who holds that a couple may not live together without a ksuba, so if she sells it, she can no longer live with her husband. In this case, if he divorces her, he would then collect the ksuba as payment, so there's anyway no deterrent to divorce her. Mar said, the case of the Bryce is that the ksuba is worth a lot of money, so he would not divorce her just to collect for the damages, which are worth a lot less than the amount of the ksuba. Mar, if the case is that the ksuba was written for more than the required minimum, why don't we make her sell that excess and pay with that money, but retain the minimum so they can remain married? Mar said, the case is that the ksuba was for the minimum amount, but the damage was less than that amount. Fiakamara, the end of the Raisa says, just like she can't sell her ksuba while she's married to him, so too she does not forfeit the ksuba to him while she is married to him. Now, according to what we just said, there can be a case where she would forfeit the ksuba to him, namely where the ksuba is for more than the minimum required ksuba. And for the Gemara, Rava said, the end of the Bryce is talking about something totally different. It's talking about the ksuba's been different. The concept that if a woman predeceases her husband, in which case he inherits her ksuba, when he dies, the amount of her ksuba is given to her sons before the remaining estate of the father is divided among his other sons as well. And it's saying that just like when a woman sells her ksuba, she does not lose the ksuba's been different concept because it was her finances that made her sell. The same is true if she sells her ksuba to her own husband. Maybe we can say that the Takanas Usha is actually subject to machlekes among Tanoim. One bride says a slave of maluk property goes out free if the wife knocked out his tooth or his eye, but not if the husband did so. Another bride says it does not go out free in either of these cases. The Gemara assumes that everyone holds that ownership of rights to produce is not considered ownership of the asset itself. If so, machlekes between the brides must be that the first bride does not hold of Takanas Usha and the second bride does. Mara says that we can say that everyone holds of Takanas Usha, but maybe that the first bride was discussing before Takanas Usha was put in place, and the second bride is discussing after it was put in place. Another Teres HaKemar could be both brides hold of Takanas Usha and both are discussing after Takanas Usha was already put in place. The first bride holds like Rava, who says that freeing a slave removes it from any lien, and similarly, the wife knocking out his tooth will remove it from the lien of the husband. The second braisa agrees with Rava, but holds that the takonas usha made the husband's right stronger than a typical lien, and even the freeing of the slave will not trump it. Third terazak the gemara, both braisas don't hold of takonas usha. The machlokes is whether we hold that ownership of rights to the produce is considered to be full ownership of the asset.